Podcast with Brother Scott. We are thrilled that you have taken time out of your day to explore with us God's timeless truth. Regardless of who we are, we all need the light of God's Word to illuminate our path for this day. And now, here's our youth pastor, Brother Scott.
Hello and welcome back. It's another episode of the Truth to You Podcast, and it is Wednesday. It's March the 13th. Brother Sam, you're back with us.
I am.
Great to have you in the studio.
Yes.
We've carved out time to make it work.
Yes. We'll see if we end up going remote or, you know,
right,
more in person in the future. It is funny, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I'm obviously a NASCAR fan. There's so much debate about them talking about, you know, remote calling the races, you know, the broadcast booth being there or not. And everybody says you can tell when they're not in person because the dynamic is just not quite the same.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see between you and me.
Can you tell?
I can. I can tell.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just there's a delay. You don't hear as much energy because you're not in person. You're not seeing, you know, somebody right there.
Yes.
And, yeah.
It's interesting you bring that up because there's sometimes there have been international soccer games where you could tell that the people who were broadcasting were not on site.
Mm.
And they never brought it up. They never talked about it. But you could tell by the they were looking for the replays.
Yes.
You know, like the well, if they'll show us the replay, you know, it's almost like, well, aren't you there? Like, can't you see what happened?
Yeah.
So anyway, there are little tells like that. And I always think that's kind of cheap.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you want them there.
It's like, I get it. And the amazing things that we can do teleworking wise that COVID kind of forced on us a couple of years ago. It's great as an option, but still in person, there's just something you can't get with
remote.
So
that's true.
Anyway, we're here today in person.
Yeah, we are the real deal, and we're into the book of 1 Kings. We have not talked about this book because we've not been together yet for it, but we've launched into it, and now we're going to be talking about here chapter 7. But before we get there, want to look at a verse geared towards perseverance in our Christian life, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, one more time, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Challenging words for us today, you know, much more than a daily battle, we're focused on winning the war, right?
Absolutely.
In the long term, not just a race, but a marathon. Yeah. And I think Paul
convicting
said it
verse.
Well. Yeah.
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 It makes you think, like, can you say that if God was to call you home tomorrow?
Yep.
You know, would you be in a position to truthfully say that?
Yeah.
Not,
right. Know? That's good. So hopefully we're meditating on that and you get a chance tonight in our teen time group time to say that verse. That would be good. But let's talk about jokes for a second.
Yeah.
You got anything for
us?
I
do. I have one. I was getting tired of kind of the short jokes that I've been doing recently.
And okay.
I tried to look for a riddle. I want to get back into the riddles. I know I did that some last year. I just couldn't find anything today.
All right.
But found a very short joke today that short story, I guess, that I thought was fairly entertaining. So
Good.
I wanted to share this with you. So
yep.
You know, there's a guy, he lives out in the country, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Doesn't have a lot of visitors.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a hermit. Just sitting at home, and all of a sudden he hears a knock on his door.
Okay.
So he goes and opens the door, looks around, nobody's there. Looks down at his feet, and he sees a small snail just right there.
Huh.
He's like, oh, that's interesting. And he just, being a redneck farmer, just picks up the snail, and like any ordinary man would, he chucks it as far as he could.
He did what?
He just chucks the snail. He's like, well, it's, you know.
Bug cruelty.
Well, hopefully Pete is not listening on this podcast right now. But so he just threw the snail as far as he could. Here's a, you know, go out through the leaves in the woods somewhere and then goes about his day. Doesn't think anything of it.
Okay.
Then a year later, about the same time of year, there's another knock on his door. Hasn't had a visitor in between this time, by the way.
Oh, my.
And so he's like, okay, you know, so gets the door, opens it up, looks around, nobody's there again. Looks down, and there's a snail.
No.
The snail looks up at him and says, so what was that all about?
I'm missing it. You're going to have to explain it. I'm missing it. Oh, he's a snail. It took him so long to get to the door. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And I guess I've got snail brain today. Yeah, it took me too long to get that joke.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah, I developed that story a little bit more.
This could almost been an episode.
Oh, that's good.
I was into it.
Because looking on my phone at this is like a three sentence joke. I was like, no, I'm gonna develop this thing.
Man, if we wouldn't have just told that, we could have done a skit.
Oh.
I mean, I'm picturing somebody in this absurd snail costume. Crawling on the ground.
Scott. Maybe we should
delete this part?
Maybe we can. Or maybe the teens who have listened to it just, you know, hey, this is a hint of something that could come in the future.
Okay. You know? All right. Well,
we'll just change the animal. It'll be a sloth instead.
There
It'll
you
be
go.
Funnier than throwing a sloth into the woods.
That's right. Good ideas. Okay. All right. 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 14. Why don't you read our verse and we'll set it up here.
Sure thing. 1 Kings 7:14, and the Bible says, he, being the person named Hiram, was a widow's son of the tribe of Naphtali. And his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass, and he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work all works in brass.
Yeah, so let's talk about this verse for a moment. And we might have a tendency, you know, as we're reading some of these details and that sort of thing, and we're like, okay, all these stones were costly stones according to the measure of the huge stones. And we're like, okay, all right, we got a lot of building materials here. What in the world's going on? So Solomon, he's building a house. In fact, not just one. He's building a house in the woods, the forest of Lebanon. He's got several building projects going on here, and much in large part because they were very wealthy.
Yeah.
The Lord used Solomon's reign to sort of expand, and this was a very prosperous time for God's people. It was a high point, economically speaking, and so thus comes the buildings. So that's where we're at, and if we kind of look through all the materials, the stones, the jewels, the woods, the, you know, all of this, the brass, we find people. And they're all mentioned for a purpose. And so that's what we're trying to develop here, this idea of, you know, who is Solomon interacting here with? And as you said, we're talking about Hiram. Now, before we get to Hiram, I think it's important that we first realize that Solomon does something here that is very resourceful, and I think something that we all should emulate. And that first point I think that we need to develop, talk about, is the fact that Solomon knew where to go to get what he needed. And, you know, Brother Sam, how do we miss this point sometimes? You know, how do we mess this point up, so to speak?
I think you can, if you don't know, you obviously need connections with people, and you need to know their character on certain things, but I think you also have to have a care and a concern about the job that you're doing to actually find the right person.
Yeah, that's good. Right? That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, here's Solomon, you know, he's obviously at the top of the chain here, looking down, and he's the most powerful man on the planet for many reasons. God's given him that power, and he's been placed in charge of this building project, for lack of a better term, and he could have just said, okay, well, you know, I'm going to do this, you know, and, you know, I'm just going to, hey, let's, you know, you guys throw some stuff together and start doing that over there, and, you know, let's get this working here, but he doesn't do that. He's delegating in a sense here.
Yeah.
And he doesn't think that he just has all the answers. He goes out and gets kind of a specialist.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is interesting, coming from the wisest man.
Yeah.
In the
yeah.
world, right?
Yeah.
If anybody could have said,
"Yep,
I can figure out how to do this on my own,"
yeah,
it could have been Solomon.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. So there's value here, right? And maybe there's times we try to do it all on our own. We feel like, well, yeah, if it's going to get done, I'm going to do it, you know. And in a sense, you know, that type of mentality can be very respectable. I mean, I'd rather have that mentality than, laziness, right?
Right.
You know, like I'd rather work alongside somebody who has that mentality than somebody who's like, well, you do it, mm-hmm. you know. But it can also be taken to an extreme.
Right.
And I guess whenever we do that, really we think we're expanding ourselves. We're really limiting ourselves, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's leadership training at my work uh-huh. last year talked about this very thing,
okay.
talking about giving up what you know you're good at for somebody that is also good at that mm-hmm. thing, even though they might not be as good as it
yep.
as you are. You know you've got to give it up to them to help them grow, and also so that you can spread yourself elsewhere in places that you really are needed.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good. That's good. Let's talk about, just for a second, how does this translate into the church? Let's move into the New Testament now.
Yeah.
Let's consider that thought of, okay, here we are, a body of believers.
Mm-hmm.
One body, as, you know, the Bible tells us,
right.
you know, and Paul kind of accentuates in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
How does this principle kind of show up in that setting?
Yeah, I'd say serving in ministries. Right, because we all have our special gifts
mm-hmm.
And certain characteristics and traits that God has gifted us with. Even last Wednesday, one of the teens was talking about this in her testimony.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something where we can look at certain things and maybe we'll see, okay, well, if there's a lot of people that are really looking to serve in this ministry and you're also serving this ministry, but you also know that you're good at something else that you can serve and nobody else is, maybe
yeah.
that's something that you can spread yourself over to try to better the church, even if it's something that wouldn't be like your number one ministry, but you know
yeah.
it's needed, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's so good. So an important point, I think, to make here is that you kind of have to respect what Solomon's doing here. He's
mm-hmm.
He is going to a specialist. He's going to someone who knows how to, you know, project the project that he's trying to get off the ground. And we can make all kinds of application in this area. You know, certainly teenagers, this is a time in your life when you need to be heavily borrowing from your parents. You're borrowing their brains, borrowing from people older than you, going to the right people. And
yeah.
and that's kind of the next point that we're going to develop here is he has some qualifications. There's
mm-hmm.
a reason Solomon went to him. Give us some of those things. Let's go to our second point here, and let's talk about some of the things in this verse that the Bible tells us, or the Lord tells us, about this man, Hiram.
Yeah, so in verse 14, the second half of that verse, obviously it says that he worked with brass, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he works with metals, but it says he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work all works in brass.
Mm.
Very, very, very great recommendation right there.
I mean, it's really incredible.
Speaks volumes of his character.
It's incredible. And this man was, I think it was from Tyre, you know, or Tyre.
Yeah.
And, you know, so this is not like, you know, Jerusalem Central.
You know, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Solomon is going outside of, you know, God's people, it looks like. And if you do a little study, you find that David was actually great friends with the king of Tyre.
Hmm.
And there was some assistance that was taking place there, so some type of alliance. And, you know, here Solomon's kind of going back to that,
yeah.
and going back to that root. And what the Lord is very gracious in describing this man. I mean, it's really a one-stop shop,
yeah.
you know, for someone who has a lot to offer. And all of these things are commendable, but each one in themselves is also, you know, pretty fantastic. You know, going to wise people is pretty important. You know, and this is interesting to me, right? Because it's not just like, you know, Solomon, you know, I'm going to go find this brass worker. He's good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like that this man is skilled. You know, he's got these other facets that go along with it.
I think, I don't know, and this is just me reading into
yeah.
it here,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think Solomon is using him not just of a sense of Solomon's like, here's what I want done. now you are the one to just perform it. I think Solomon is going to be leaning on his wisdom and understanding for recommendations and say, what would you do in this scenario? Here's my vision, but you've been working in this field so long.
Yeah.
You have way more experience.
Yeah.
What would you suggest?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And
that's good.
Lean on that
it's
quite
good.
A bit.
And maybe, you know, and this brings up a whole lot of other things. And I think you pointed to this earlier is that like Solomon was the wisest man, right? Mm-hmm. We know he had next level wisdom, but it's almost like he's opening himself up to learning here.
Yeah. And which proves Solomon's heart and shows why he was such a wise person.
What? Yeah. I mean,
because he gained knowledge from other people. It's not like he just.
Yeah. I mean, we don't typically think about Solomon being a teachable person. We would think he's the teacher.
Right.
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 But he was teachable.
Absolutely.
So let's go back to where we're at and where the teenagers are. Mm-hmm. And you know, when we've got an area that we excel in, sometimes it's hard for us to open up, mm-hmm. you know, to learn from other people, especially in that specific area. Sometimes maybe it's hard for teens to sit in a classroom and engage with a certain teacher for this or that reason, and they can close themselves off, you know, but really seeing our teachers, seeing those over us, seeing those who are skilled and wisdom and those things, seeing the value in them. And remaining open to them, not thinking we are that one-stop shop for
you know
everything we need in life.
No, and even at like my work, I've had times where you know I've had people that are, you know, my job title is a system administrator, so I work with the servers.
Yep.
But I came from service desk, and so there's people on the service desk now that I still talk to, and I try to help them on things.
Yeah,
and I'll be talking with them, and they'll ask me for advice, and I'll look at stuff. And then I'll just be talking about something, and I'll be watching them as they go through something, mm-hmm. and I'll see something they do. I'm like, I never knew that this application had this capability,
Neat.
Or I never knew. And I'll point that out to them. I'm like, hey, I'm really glad that you know I was working with you today because you taught me something.
Yeah,
right?
That's
and
neat.
So never be closed off to the fact, even if you
that's
know
great.
That you're, you know, God's gifted you in a certain area.
Right.
God can use others to still help you grow.
And going down, like, when you speak those words to that individual, like, what does that do to them? Like, that makes their day, right?
Yeah, because I've been on the other side of that.
At
a service desk, and somebody would say, hey, I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
Thank you for showing me.
Right.
It's like, you know, maybe like, oh, I actually know something.
Yeah. So it's just really, really, really good. And we'll try to stay on topic here, but it just points out, like, we can have one of two attitudes.
Yeah.
We can, like, I know it all. I don't need anybody's help. You know, let me show you how much I know,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm not going to say I'm learning from you because then I'll show weakness. You'll think, you know, like all of
these thoughts
that just fill our selfish minds. Mm-hmm. Right. And yet we look to the wisest man.
Yeah.
What is he doing? He knows where to go, you know, for the help that he needs. And he's willing to even learn in this experience.
If you break it down to a really granular, I can't talk, granular level, it really comes down to pride versus humility.
Yeah, it does.
As far as where your heart is.
Mm-hmm.
Are you teachable or are you not?
Right. Good stuff, Brother Sam. All right, let's go to what I think is kind of a hidden gem in this verse. And I want you to read the first part of this verse one more time.
Sure. He was a widow's son of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass.
Okay. So this is really interesting here. You know, the Lord includes this idea that Hiram was a widow's son. Now, it does mention who his father was,
mm-hmm.
But we're given no other indication of when his father died, you know, when you know, his mom became widowed, you know. Any of those things, I mean, it could be anything. It could be that his father passed away, you know, his mom's now a widow. It could be that, you know, Hiram is born, and then all of a sudden, dad's gone,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's passed away. We're not given that, but we're told this specific thing about his mom being a widow. And, you know, I just think that it has to point to the fact that, you know, sometimes there are special family situations in our lives, and it can be immediate family, sometimes we extended family, you know, things that, you know, maybe we're not proud of, things that maybe we look at as a negative, things that can hold us up, you know, in our mind, become a stumbling block to our future. And I think the Bible is just really trying to communicate something to us that, like, in spite of this huge obstacle that potentially was in his life, Hiram's just going to be his own man, and he's going to seek wisdom. He's going to seek understanding. He becomes very skilled and cunning in this work, and from all appearances, it doesn't seem to hold him back.
Yeah, from looking at the end of the verse, you would not think that the first part of the verse even occurred, right? You would say, oh, this is a successful guy that, you know, he grew up in a really blessed home situation.
Yeah.
And obviously,
you know,
and you don't, we don't know when his father passed away.
No.
I mean, there could have been overlap where he could have taught him his craft and everything. At the same time, you know, there's a lot of situations similar to Hiram's, you know, that, you know, maybe there's a teen in the youth group that's, you know, growing up in a single parent home or whatever, or it doesn't even have to be that. It can be any situation that comes up that the devil will try to use that to say, well, you can't be who God wants you to be because of a circumstance that occurred that was out of your control or whatever.
Right.
Or, well, this defines me now because of this moment that happened.
Right.
And, you know, God is just so gracious and can look past, you know, whether it was a mistake we made or whether we had nothing to do with it.
Sure.
And, you know, that's just one of those things where Hiram obviously just, you know, I'm sure this obviously was hard, losing his dad and not having a dad in his life.
Right.
But he was able to move on and be the man of God that, you know, he wanted to be. So.
And it's really good. We tend to think when it comes to things like this, maybe some type of sin or tragedy, we tend to think nobody has it like me.
Right.
Nobody has the family I have. Nobody has the extended family that I have. But the truth is, we all have been touched by tragedy and sin. All of our families have been. Mm-hmm. And if you do not believe me, just take a look around the room sometime when you're in church. And you know what? All of our lives have been touched with some aspect of those two things. Now, we may not know about it, and chances are we don't. You know, we don't know everybody's story, certainly when it comes to extended family. But the thrust of this point is really, hey, it's about who you are. You know, who before God, you know, do you want to be? You know, do you want to follow the Lord, work hard, and ask Him for wisdom? Well, you can be that, like Hiram.
Yeah.
Or we can, you know, let our past define us and, you know, allow it to be a stumbling block to our future. And I think this is just pointing us towards a hopeful future in the Lord.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything to close with? Or?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah. And all of that, right, out of a chapter about building.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, when I was reading, you know, for you teens that don't know, Brother Scott and I do review what we're going to say for a few minutes before we start. And so I'm looking over this over and looking at the verse. I'm like, what kind of a verse did Brother Scott pick this week? I'm like, what are we going to talk about? And then I'm like, oh, this is, it's crazy. And that's how you can look at the, you know, into these chapters and verses in the Bible. And as also, I'm not going to go on too much of a tangent here, but as you grow spiritually, reading God's word, that's why it's such an important thing, not to just read God's word as checking it off, because it's very easy, because I've done this, to read through God's word and say, okay, I read my Bible for today, that was good, and not really dwell on the verses, because this is easily a verse that I guarantee you I've read multiple times in my lifetime that I have never noticed before.
Sure.
And you know,
absolutely,
you dive into it, and now you have like 20, 25 minutes of content just talking about one verse and one guy that, you know, probably was never mentioned again in the Bible.
Yeah.
But yet, it speaks volumes about his character.
Here he is. So. The Lord, and the Lord put him in here for a reason.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. The Bible's a treasure trove, and it's a lifelong pursuit. We'll leave it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoyed, as always, talking to you about the Word of God, and want to mention our teenager of the day. It is Caroline.
Let's be praying for her. Take care.